It's a very good afternoon to you. I hope you're all well. I hope you all had a nice Monday or Tuesday morning. Sorry, Monday, Tuesday morning. Anyway, well, there's breaking news today, and the socialists and the commies are all going mad saying, isn't this wonderful for Ireland? And I put a tweet up, right? And I said, breaking news, Ireland is now forced, inverted commas, by the courts, the European courts, to accept the 13 billion in tax arrears from Apple, which has been sitting in an escrow account since 2016. That'd be nice, by the way, for interest, wouldn't it? Meanwhile, the socialist parties in Ireland are practically wetting themselves with excitement, oblivious to the fact that this is actually terrible news to the country. The government never wanted to win the case, as it sends a bad message out to foreign investors, investors who contribute over 30 billion to our fake economy in corporate tax. But of course, the anti-capitalist cheerleaders are too thick and short-sighted and clueless to understand the bigger picture. If we start losing major foreign investments or tech giants because of this ruling, we're financially doomed. Yet the commies will rejoice as we revert back to the crumbling roads, poor infrastructure and zero funding for public services. Be careful what you wish for. And that was in relation to the news this morning, that money, do you remember that famous 13 billion? And everybody gets excited about, oh, that's great, we're getting 13 billion. We're actually not really getting 13 billion because we're getting the 13 billion to manage the money. A lot of that money has to go to France, Germany, any of the companies, any of the retailers who sold Apple phones, and those companies have to get their tax out of it, etc., etc. So we get some of it, but we don't get all of the 13 billion. And the damage it's going to do to our economy, you watch what happens now when other big investors go, well, hold on for a second here. Ireland are being forced, you know, to charge high corporate tax rates. So now, you know, there's no sweetheart deals anymore. So let's not invest in Ireland anymore. That's what could happen. And then if Donald Trump gets elected, of course, he's promised to reduce corporate tax rate in America to bring back American companies to America. That could be doomsday for Ireland. If we lose that 30 billion or more, actually, in corporate tax that we get every year, as well as the employment they give to people all over Ireland who pay PAYE, employers, PRSI, etc., etc., we will lose billions. Our economy will be down the toilet. Down the toilet. We will be back to the 1970s where Charlie Haughey was on the television addressing the nation, telling us all to tighten our belts. That's the way it'll be. We'll be like Britain. Look at Britain at the moment. You've got Keir Starmer over there taking away fuel allowance for pensioners, increasing taxes, all the things he promised he wouldn't do, he's now doing because they're skint, because they're not part of the EU anymore. So be careful what you wish for, by the way. Don't get too excited about the 13 billion. Don't buy into the socialist parties and their excitement and they're, you know, dripping with urine all day, because it doesn't work like that. These are short-sighted people. Now, I wanted to move on to something today that I thought was interesting, and I saw it in a British newspaper, but I thought we could relate it certainly to Ireland, because juvenile crime levels are rising, according to a report in July, and there's a sharp increase in reports of theft, robbery, fraud, sexual offences by teenagers, according to new figures. Garda records show the 15,719 instances of crime involving over 8,400 young offenders, so that's assuming that each one of them had committed at least two offences, were referred to the Garda Youth Diversion Programme, the GYDP, in 2022, the latest year for which there was a breakdown of offences committed by those aged between 12 and 17 years of age. Remembering, of course, that 12 is the age of criminal responsibility. You cannot be charged under the age of 12 for a crime unless it's murder. So the figures show the most common crime committed by young people, by the way, is theft, 4,719 cases, up 42% on the previous year. That's a massive increase. However, there were reductions in some of the other crimes commonly associated with young people, including public order offences, down by 14%, but they put that down to the fact that the Garda Síochána are not implementing the law the way they used to. Drug offences, down by 2%. They're also putting that down to the fact the guards are not stopping and searching and not arresting young people for having hash, say, in their pocket, as well as incidents of criminal damage, down 4%. Again, these are things that are going unreported. So realistically, they're probably not down at all. The report also reveals that 38 young people were caught driving under the influence. So 12 to 17 years of age were driving cars under the influence of alcohol, 38 young people. They also established that in 2003, the GYDP is designed to allow young offenders to avoid having their crime processed through the court system. Any young person 12 to 17 years of age responsible for a crime must first be considered for a caution before they can be brought before a court, and the decision to caution or prosecute is made by the Garda Superintendent at the Garda Youth Division Bureau. The report shows that more than a third of referrals by the GYDP in 2022 were dealt with in an informal cautionary manner, with approximately a quarter handled via formal caution. So only one in four actually gets a formal caution, And even less than that, even go to a courtroom, will end up in a courtroom. And even when they go to a courtroom, they don't go to jail or anywhere like that, generally speaking, unless it's a very serious crime. So the point is, nothing happens. But yet the crime rate is increasing rapidly. We're seeing a rapid increase in the amount of crime of young people between 12 and 17. So how do we deal with that? Well, the argument is, the way we deal with it, or the way we should deal with that is that we should fine the parents or bring the parents to court. Now, there's an argument against that, that good parents sometimes have bad kids. You could have four children, three of them are great, and one of them goes awry. Nothing to do with you, you're trying your best, you're doing exactly the same for the other three, so why is that your fault as a parent if your 15-year-old is a scumbag? So, is that the right attitude? Should we caution, bring to court or fine or even jail parents of bad kids? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. If we go to Dave, Tommy, Lorraine, Steve. Let me go to Dave first if I can. He's been waiting a while, his dog was barking. Dave, hi, how are you?
It's a very cheerful opening today, Niall.
As usual, Davis. Well, I couldn't help but listen to Paul Murphy on the radio this morning rejoicing.
You know, I heard him. Yeah. I heard him.
Yeah.
I heard him.
Yeah, but yeah. he was put in his place by Cormac Lucy very quickly, by the way.
He did. Yeah. I mean, you know, fucking when the actual expert started talking, he was fairly quiet. Who votes for that fucking gobshite? Just as a quick aside.
Yeah. I've known.
No, like, honestly. Like,
somebody,
you know,
it's clearly somebody. See, Paul Murphy got his fame from the water charges. And in fairness, he was quite active in relation to those protests. And that's
yeah,
how
well,
he.
Look, everybody has.
Bit of a one-trick pony.
Everyone has positive about him. I mean,
getting back to this particular topic, I mean, should young people, do you believe that the parents should be responsible?
Yeah. I mean, if my youngster is out and I know he breaks something, or I don't know, say puts a splitter through somebody's, you know, windscreen of a car, I'm not going to wait for someone to come and tell me you have to pay for the damages. I'm going to pay for the damages, you know. Or I told him, if you ever got caught shoplifting, I'd bring him back to the shop and make him work off whatever he stole. So. Yeah, your kids are your responsibility until they're 18 years old. Mm. And I do genuinely believe, like, you know yourself, like, how do you get somebody to change their behavior? You hit them in the pocket, you know. But I don't think that alone, like, I mean, but, like, we need to do other stuff. Like, I personally believe early intervention is massive in this, because there will be parents out there who will be just scummy, shitty arseholes who are on social welfare and they claim, oh, well, I can't pay it and blah, 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 blah. And they'll still let their kids run riot. You know, I think you need to, like a lot of kids, particularly ones that come from, like, impoverished areas or just, you know, high crime areas. We all know where we're talking about. Like, they'll see the local drug dealer or the young fellas older than them making money, wearing the cool clothes, you know, they don't go to school. And they see that as their path forward. Because a lot of kids grow up in these areas, they do listen to the rest of society say, oh, well, you're all nothing but scumbags and you're feral children and you're this and you're that. So they're growing up with the mentality of, well, sure, I'll never become that myself, so I may as well get involved in crime. Mm. You know, I, and then again, there's probably a percentage of these kids that may have undiagnosed learning difficulties. Maybe they're on the spectrum.
I think a lot of the time that's a bit of a cop-out, because parents should recognize that earlier on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you've got parents who don't couldn't give a
yeah, but if your kid has a learning difficulty or has ADHD and finds himself in trouble quite a lot, which sometimes that happens, the parents should recognise that problem and, you know, intervene or be more cautious around that child. I mean, this idea that, you know, because I remember my kids were 15 years of age, and this idea, oh, you can't be with them 24 hours a day. Yes, you can. You should know where your kids are. 24 hours a day, you should know exactly where your children are.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not saying that every kid who gets into trouble might have, like, undiagnosed ADHD or autism or learning difficulty, but I do know people who acted the bollocks when they were younger and they were teenagers, and they found out later in life they did have some sort of undiagnosed thing, because there are kids who fall behind in school and they're just forgotten about, because in a lot of schools there's too many kids for the teachers to pay attention to every single last one of them. So I'm not saying it's all of them, but I'm saying there could be kids like that. Like, you know, if you really want to tackle this thing, it needs to be a multifaceted approach. You know, I mean, parents should be held to task, first and foremost, yeah.
But so should we drag Johnny's mother and father to court and say, okay, 500 quid fine or 3 months in jail, whichever you like. One year's
going
to jail.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, or you will take it out of your social welfare. But as well as that, like, we also need to start, like, I don't know, but prosecuting kids who get involved in serious crimes. But we need to have something to deal with that as well, because like a lot of teenagers know nowadays, if you're under the age of 18, bar murdering or raping somebody, you can pretty much get away with nearly anything.
Oh, you just get a caution. Like, and by the way, I'm just looking at the figures here. Most actually don't even get a caution, a formal caution.
Yeah, and like, could you blame
a third of referrals didn't even get, they got an informal caution. Which, by the way, there's no real difference between an informal caution and a formal caution. An informal caution is a cop saying to you, listen, don't do that again, right? Go on off with you now.
Yeah, right.
A formal caution is the sergeant in the police station bringing you into a room, writing it down, you are now getting a formal caution, and you signing it. That's the only difference. There's no difference.
You see, like a lot of these younger people, they know themselves they got caught by the guards. The guards' hands are tied. They can't do it, you know? And then it becomes a game
but
for
we,
them.
But we used to do something about it. I mean, there was a time when they used to go to St. Pat's or they'd be sent somewhere. But we stopped doing that. But stay there. Hang on, Dave, just for a second. Let me go to Tommy. And I have to go to Lorraine and Steve too. Tommy, hi. How are you?
How are you doing? Are you well?
Good. Tommy, you know, I mean, we did have... There was a time in this country where young people went to, you know... centres, you know, like St. Pat's or whatever it happened. I mean, St. Pat's is gone, obviously. There's Oberstown now, but that's only for serious criminals, young offenders. So, I mean, what do you do? Do you find the parents and jail them if necessary?
Well, obviously, the majority of the kids we're talking about are boys. I remember back in my day, you never heard of girls getting in trouble with the guards. The main reason
that's because they were
is,
thrown into a Magdalen laundry when they did, but go on, yeah.
Well, yeah. That's for different reasons. But, yeah. Two good parents will never have a bad child. It's because of the breakdown of the family and the roles in the family that produce bad kids. A strong father will always have strong moral kids, and an overbearing mother produces kids that act out and a weak father. So it comes down to a weak father and an overbearing mother that is causing all this. I'd like to see the guards, or if someone is under 16, get Tulsa involved, and maybe start sending, making sure that the parents spend a certain amount of time with the kids doing activities like football or boxing or whatever, because a lot of the time the parents are just sitting on a bar stool. So that's another way to go. But it's definitely down to the woman's ego as well. A lot of women are going back to work, and I see it personally. They're dropping kids off at the creche that are 3 years of age, and the mother's all tired up to work in an office to feed her ego. And the man isn't brave enough to say, I want you nurturing the kids and I will discipline them.
See, now people are going to give out and say, now, Tommy, you're being a sexist pig. I'm not saying it, but people will say that. You know, what about the other way around? Could the woman not go to work and the man stay at home and nurture the kid? Does that work?
Well, it would work, but it won't have the same effect.
Okay, so you believe the traditional roles. We've lost the traditional roles because of the way society has been designed to kind of embarrass women into going out to work.
Come here, women are doing it to feed their own ego because they're not happy enough sitting at home. They want to go out and say, look at me, I can earn money. Instead of raising their kids, having kids early, raise them, then start a career in your 30s. But now they have to do everything. But listen, if the fathers, look, I was one of those kids that was acting the MAGA, and it was because my father was on a bar stool and didn't spend any time with me on the weekend. If he brought me to football matches, or he made sure I was home at 8 o'clock every night for dinner and done the homework, there'd be no problem at all. There's no such thing as two good parents having a bad kid. That's a cop out. That's an absolute cop out.
What about those families who might have four kids? Three of them end up in college, they're doing great, and one of them ends up on drugs. I know they're rare occasions, but it does happen. In other words, you know, you can't have a rogue kid.
Well, obviously, the rogue kid. The mother was overbearing and gave them the wrong type of love, turned them against the father, and they went elsewhere for ease and comfort instead of being able to come to their parents with their problem. Obviously, the parents were too busy to keep an eye on the kid. A kid doesn't become a drug addict in the space of a week. This takes years.
Okay, Dave, is that a fair point? It's the way society has changed that we don't have those kind of male role models in families anymore. And yes, if you look at the statistics and break them down, if you come from a single parent family, no disrespect to single parent families, you're more likely to get into trouble as a kid.
Yeah, but the reason like a lot of kids get into trouble in single parent families is because like there's one parent there to work, to do all the stuff that comes with like keeping a home going. They probably don't have the time to, you know, put into the kid. You know, it's not necessarily just because you're missing one particular role model that the kids go, you know, go apeshit. You just literally
they do. Tommy has a point. I mean, I don't want to come across as being sexist. I could be either one. But Tommy has a point that when you're missing a male role model, or indeed a female role model, particularly if you're a young girl as well, it can have a devastating effect on a child.
Of course it can. I don't doubt that it has a detrimental effect, but I don't like the fact that, like, all the blame is being put on. Like, the reason we have, like, kids going out and getting involved in crime is because women, how dare they, want to go to work to feed egos. I mean, that's such a simplistic approach. But it's not. It's not. This is such a complicated issue. If it was that simple to fix, we would have a handle on this. There's so many different factors involved. It depends on the family, depends on the kids, depends on the socioeconomic status of that family. It depends on...
But there's not. Yeah, but Tommy's point is as well, there's no doubt that... I know the population has increased, obviously, but there's certainly no doubt over the last 30 years that we've seen a huge increase in antisocial behaviour and mainly young boys ending up in trouble.
Well, where? Yeah, but, like, where are we seeing... Like, that's fine. Well, you can say, like, that has happened, right? Where has it happened? Like, you can't just say, we've seen an antisocial behaviour in boys, so mostly because there's no dads around, how dare those women not look after the kids?
But 42% increase in 1 year.
The point.
Yes, I know, but where?
Sorry, Tommy, he's missing the point. What do you mean, Tommy, he's missing the point?
He's missing the point by this. If a woman lets the man lead the family and be the disciplinarian, and she can concentrate on rearing the kids and he can concentrate on disciplining them, there shouldn't be many issues. The issue is that the woman is either kicking the father out, turning the kids away from their father, overloving the kids, and the father's not there to stop the mother from overloving them, and the father's not spending time keeping an eye on his kids. If you sit down with your kids twice a week, have dinner with them, ask them how their week is going, you're going to know after 30 seconds whether they're taking drugs.
So, okay, we'll stay there a second, because I have to go to Lorraine and Steve. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Can I just start this off, and can I call him a chauvinistic pig?
Who, Tommy?
Yeah, a chauvinistic pig. How dare you blame mothers for going out to getting a job? I grew up in a household where my mother worked and so did my dad. None of us turned out. I never ended up in prison. I've never ended up arrested. I don't have a criminal record. So for the record, how dare you?
It's just, I'm talking about the kids that have the troubles. 99% of the time, the kids that have the troubles, it's because of the father not leaving.
Well, I don't know if it's 99%. That's kind of a statistic you've just plucked out of the air there now. But yes,
I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have three kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Okay? My partner's a truck driver. I don't see him Monday to Friday. Yet, none of my kids, and one of them's 12, I also have a 14-year-old stepdaughter. None of my kids have ended up in prison. I've never had the guards at my door. I've never had any trouble with antisocial behaviour. So there's your statistic and stick it up your hole.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the kids that are, it's because of the father's not in their life. Everyone else that has a happy family has a happy family, but the kids that are in trouble, you can normally trace it back to the father. That's all. I know loads of single mothers that have great kids, but the people that do have
children. Tommy, the way you came across, you sounded like you were slating women for going to work and we were boosting our ego for going to work.
I'll take it whatever way you want. I stand by what I say.
But that is what you said.
Yeah.
Women are boosting their egos for going back to work. We should have kids early and go to and make our career in our 30s.
I know a lot of mothers that feed their kids frozen pizzas every night. They don't even know how to cook.
I have a son who would only eat chicken nuggets and chips every day.
Why are you getting upset for? I don't even know you. But you have to admit that there is... The boys that are getting in trouble in these areas, the father's either not on the scene, sitting on a bar stool, or the mother and father don't have a relationship the way...
Hang on. To defend Tommy somewhat, Lorraine, okay, and you're entitled to have your view on what he said, right? But, you know, statistics do bear out what he's saying. Not all of the time, but a lot of the time, the majority of kids who find themselves in trouble, and the statistics are there to show it, they're kids that come from broken homes where somebody's been divorced, separated, or it's a single parent family. And that's not to blame the single parent, by the way. They're probably doing their best. But, you know, two parents obviously are better than one when it comes to a child.
I'm not denying that. They say the nuclear family is always a mom and dad and it's always a happier home. But at the same time, you can't just blame what the dad not being there and a child. I know people who have a successful marriage and one of their kids ended up on drugs and ended up robbing people. Like, it's
And you can give me a million anecdotal stories. But in relation to when kids do get into trouble, and we've seen an increase in kids getting into trouble between 12 and 17 years of age, how do we challenge that problem? But let's say, for example, one of your kids, you know, gets into trouble, robs a car, I don't know, gets caught drink driving, no insurance, whatever, I don't know, steals something out of a shop and an iPhone. Do you think you should be dragged into court, Lorraine, and the judge give you a fine, £400, or threaten you if you don't pay the fine, you go to jail?
If my son came home to me after robbing a car, I'd be the first person to walk him up to the guard station.
I'm not asking you that. But do you think it would be fair that you'd be brought to court? Because no point in bringing him to court, because he's not going to go to court. He's between 12 and 17.
He's not going to pay it. Have to view that your first caller who said the same thing. If his litter goes through the door or window or like that as well, somebody robs something, I will hold my son accountable and I will pay for it.
Yeah, but it's not as easy as that because although Dave made that point, if your kid comes home and smashed the window of a car or something like that, and you go, oh, well, look, here's £150, £200, the child is not learning anything from that. There's nothing being learned from that because he just couldn't do it again because Ma, you know, Lorraine or Jason will pay for it. So what happens? Would it not be better if the courts decide to bring you or Jason to court and say, right, your kid has committed a crime as well as paying for the damage. There's a £400 fine or 3 months in jail. One is conservative. I don't care which one he is, but you need to learn how to be parents again.
Why should I be punished? Like, I think bring back the same path for kids that age to put them in there. If you rob a phone, you go in there. For a week, 2 weeks, in you go. There's no consequences for that in this country. You get handed an ASBO and then it's like a fucking badge of honour. There's nothing in this country to stop kids doing anything. Yes, you can find as many parents as you want and you can throw as many parents as you want in prison, but what's that going to solve for the kid? If the kid still wants to do it, he's going to do it.
Not true.
Sorry, Tommy?
I'd rather see a child spend more time with his father than throw him in the same path. I guarantee you, any good father will get his son back on track. So, I disagree with that lady's analysis. No disrespect to her, but I think there's strong fathers out there.
And my mother was a strong mother, Tommy. You know what I mean? My mother was the one, and like most kids of my age, my mother was the one who dished out the discipline. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, if she told your father, he'd box the head off you, right? But my mother, you know, was an expert with a slipper or a cane. And, you know, and she dished out the discipline. Now, I loved her to bits, but, you know, she would discipline you. And she wouldn't take any nonsense. And she was a strong woman.
Well, that's true, Noel, but a boy is created in the image of his father.
Irish boys. I don't necessarily agree with you. I think Irish boys are mammy's boys.
Mammy's boys, completely.
That's why we're in trouble. This lady'd rather see kids in St. Patrick's let them spend extra time with the father. It's madness.
I mean, I do agree that a father figure in a household is also important. Absolutely. And you know, when a mother, for example, is softer, the father can step in with discipline. And I do believe discipline is really important. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, children never learn. But in saying that, you know, you don't rule out women. They play an equal role in raising a child, Tommy.
Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. I'm just saying when it comes to when the boy is becoming a teenager, it's up to the best option is for the father to guide him into manhood. That's it. I don't know what's so controversial about that.
No, I know. I don't think it's controversial. I'm not suggesting it isn't, or it's controversial in any way. And Lorraine, I do get what he's saying. This society we have now, where both parents work, you know, men and women, a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists have said that it's probably not such a great idea, that the best or the most formative years of a child's life, particularly between 1 and 5, a parent, primarily women, are better at it, should stay at home and raise the child.
Scenario. Me and Jay decided that he was going to go back to work, or that when I had my kids, I wasn't going to go back to
work. Yeah, that's worked out. That worked out, didn't it? Worked out well for you.
It did work out. It did work out well for the two of us, but it's not feasible for every family for a mother to stay at home.
It is for most families. They just choose not to.
Well, if that's what they choose not to, but you can't.
So why is Tommy not right then? It's about ego. I know a family, for example, where the two of them were high flyers. They had three kids. Three kids were dropped off in a crash. They're all in around the same age, under the age of 5, dropped off in a crash in the morning at 8 o'clock, picked up at 6 in the evening in their pyjamas, tucked into bed. You know, the crash are raising the children for the first 5 years of their life.
See, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but here was the argument. Oh, you know, we're both working. And I'm going, yeah, well, one of you could give up your job. Give up one of your cars. You don't need both of them. Give up one of the cars. You could easily afford, but the cost, it probably costing $3,000 a month for the creche.
Yeah, I get that. There is families out there that are like that, but at the same time, Lord, you can't say that every family's like that. That it is feasible for some of the parents. Like, you can't blame a woman for going back to work.
I'm not blaming a woman. I'm not saying woman. I'm saying parent.
No, our man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Tommy is saying woman. Like, and I get why Tommy is saying that too, because look, women are better at raising children. That's just a fact, isn't it?
I understand where he's coming from. I do get that. I understand that. But I'm at home 5 days a week with my kids on my own. Jay does work some Saturdays, so I'm here maybe 6 days a week on my own. So I am judge, jury and executioner for 6 days a week. And none of my kids, including my stepkids, have ever gotten trouble. And I have 5 stepchildren, and not one of them has gotten trouble.
Yeah, and well done. You're doing a good job. Sorry, Tommy, what are you trying to say there before I go to Steve?
Can I just ask that lady a question?
Yeah.
Say when our kids were younger and she wanted to go back to work and Jay said no, what would her reaction be?
If Jay said no, I did. That was the conversation we had. Not that Jay said no. It just worked out better for Jay to go back to work. He earned more money than I did.
No. The point he's making is, let's just say you decided you wanted to go back to work, and Jay.
I would have went back.
But let's say you wanted to go back, and Jay turned around and says, "No, Lorraine, you're not going back," and that's the end of it.
I would have went back to work.
Okay, so you wouldn't have listened to him.
No.
Okay,
but I chose to stay at home, so it wasn't a case of I was told not to or to. Jay was supportive of I wanted to go back, and he was also supportive of he didn't. It just worked out better for me and himself. That I didn't, and I'm thankful I didn't.
Stay there, both of you, a second. Let me go to Steve as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
You cannot argue with statistics. So, a recent study, it says here, recent study has found single father households do vastly better than single mothers. I think the majority of the problem that's going on here is with the women.
Oh,
and
you're
Lorraine can have a freak out all you want. You cannot argue with the statistics on this one. The vast majority of the juveniles who were involved in these crimes, say in Ballyferm or when you see them ramming the Garda cars, you know quite well that they come from single mother families.
Not always.
Not always.
That's what I didn't say always. What did I say before that? I said the vast majority. I didn't say all of them. So listen carefully. The problem is coming mostly from single mothers. Single mothers, apparently, according to statistics, are not great at doing their job.
That's kids not true. No, hang on.
Kids,
you've jumped now. You've made a leap. Now, hang on, Steve. You've made a huge leap. I'm not going to argue with those stats, right? I'm not going to argue with those stats.
No, you can't.
I'm not going to, right? But when you say they're not good at doing their job, you got to remember, when you're a single parent, the job is twice as hard.
Okay, did you not hear what I said beforehand? Single father households do vastly better than single mothers. Now, why do you think that is, Noel? So, it's men who have been trashed for all of these years that men are assholes, are useless, blah, 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 blah. It turns out if you get a single father who's out walking and rearing his children at the same time, he's doing a better job than the women. So the problem clearly is, in this situation, it's with the women.
Yeah, but Lorraine's on her own. Well, on her own during
I'm
the week.
No. Hold on a second. No, you're not. And Niall, I pick you up on something as well. You said that your mother was a staring mother and she'd done all the chastising and what have you.
Yeah.
But she had the tread of your father. Now, if you remove the tread of your father, how much of the Billy Big Balls do you think you would have been back there? I guarantee you would have been a bigger asshole. I promise you.
And the mother bad-mouthing the father. And the mother bad-mouthing the father.
Absolutely. It always turns out that the father's the asshole, he's the useless one, so on and so forth. But getting back to the topic at hand, should parents be criminally responsible for their children's behaviour? Absolutely. 100%. You are the guardian of that child. You brought them into this world. If you don't know where your child is, you're a piece of shit. If you don't know what your child is doing, you're a piece of shit. You need to get off your arse and do your job as a parent for that child, or they will end up exactly like you, which is a piece of shit.
Lorraine, you can respond to that if you want to. He's more or less saying what Tommy is saying, that the problem comes down to lack of men in families.
Yep.
I know you're saying there's statistics, lack of men and all this bollocks, right? Yeah, you can't fight with statistics. as you said, you have white statistics. But at the same time, I know people who have come from upper class families who ended up junkies. I know people who came from upper class families with both parents who were on tons of money who ended up robbing cars, and the rest of their families didn't. You can go with your statistics all you want. I'm here 6 days a week on my own some weeks, and I'm judge, jury, and executor of my kids. And as I've said, none of my kids have ever brought the guards to my front door. None of them have ever been in trouble. Even my stepchildren haven't. So sometimes
yeah, but Lorraine, you must understand, Lorraine. No. Statistics aren't wrong. What you're missing out on here is the majority. So you are in the minority. You actually doing your job.
You are the kind of Stepford family, aren't you, Lorraine? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You are the Stepford family. So, you know, you are in the minority. And
she's,
you know,
the exception to the rule.
And when you say, for example, and I'm going to back up Steve on this one by saying, you know, when, you know, Tristan from BlackRock, who has two really good parents who are really good at their job, and he turns out to be a drug dealer, that's the exception to the rule as well, most likely. Whereas when Johnner, you know, who only has, say, a single mum, you know, ends up robbing a car, he's not the exception to the rule. Unfortunately, he's in the majority. Because that's, unfortunately, if you break down these figures, now I don't have the stats for the 15,719 instances involving crime of young people between 12 and 17 for the previous year. I don't have those stats to hand. But I would hazard a guess that the majority of those will come from broken homes.
Vast majority.
Well, yeah.
We've all seen it. Every one of us have seen it, where you see the you know, 16, 17-year-old little scummer, and he's talking to his mother like she's a bit of shit. But when it comes to talking to the father, who's a much stronger person, he won't dare open his mouth because he'd get a bleeding slap off him. It's as simple as that. Now, we have to try and figure out why in the first place are these families disintegrating? Why is there so many single mothers out there? Is it a case that men are assholes and they just want to piss off and neglect their responsibility to their children? I don't think that's the case, because I've yet to meet a man who's like, oh, I don't want that to do with my kids. I've yet to meet one. I'm not saying they don't exist.
They do exist. Well, they do. Some do exist. But yeah, most men do want access to their children. So what you're saying to me is blame the family law courts. They should be dividing access 50-50 is what you're saying to me. But that's not a stable environment for a child either, is it? To be going from mammies to daddies.
Is it not? Hold on. We've just proven that the single mother environment is clearly not stable.
Not always.
Obviously, we need to change it, Niall. Like I said,
well, what are the other reasons?
Nine times more likely to drop out of school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 14 times more likely to get involved in crime. And that is from single mother families.
What do we do about the 42% increase, you know, in crime and juvenile crime? And, you know, it's stuff like theft, it's, you know, car robberies. I'm surprised, actually, 38 young people between 12 and 17 were caught drink driving, for God's sake. So what do we do with those? As we said earlier on, do we bring the parents, Lorraine and Jay, to court? And say, yeah, you know, you're going to be responsible.
Not Lorraine and Jane. Jay. we should bring the primary carer to court. So if you're a single mother and you have a little scummer of a kid, and if it's proven that she's neglecting her child and her responsibilities as a parent, you bring her to court.
How do you prove
and then
that?
You give custody.
How do you prove that?
It's easy. If you just have, look at the records. There's going to be a record a mile long. Little Johnny Scummer was in a robbed car this day. He was attacking an old woman another day, so on and so forth. And what you then do is you give the primary care. You say to the father, right, it's your turn. It's your responsibility. You need to take this child and take care of them. That'll soon make the women cop on to get off your arse and do your bleeding job.
Okay, well, stay there, both of you. Let me just go to Morris as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing?
It is a tough one without insulting everybody, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, listen, you should. I don't know if there's many women out there who should be told or need to be told how to rear their children. They brought them into the world and they're going to look after them as best they can. But I mean, to say, you know as well as I do, Niall, there's plenty of fathers out there that are just life support machines for fucking penises. sowing wild oats and paying for a crop failure and just sprouting out kids so they can get more money on children's allowance. So they can go fucking drinking all day and spend the day in the bookies. And the woman's at home trying to spread the money over 4 or 5 kids that are being neglected and trying to get them. I remember the kid going into a shop to steal a box of cornflakes so he could eat, and he could see his ribs through his T-shirt. And that was in Ballyfermot in the early 70s, you know?
That's not the type of crime that's being committed at the moment, can I just point out, by juveniles. Yeah, most juveniles are not short of a box of cornflakes, let's be clear about it.
Did you ever think you'd live in a time where you'd see 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds being charged with murder in our country?
How do I know?
Or I know. A 12-year-old killed a woman down in the financial service.
Absolutely, but look, Morris. Those 12-year-olds are dealt with differently, by the way, or 13-year-olds or whatever it is. They do go to court, yeah, and they're treated as an adult and charged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, we're talking about the majority of the crimes. The vast majority of these incidents are, I'm not going to say petty crime, but they're, you know, stealing, yeah, cars, theft, public order incidents. You know, so they're generally speaking, you know, it's not the end of the world. These children can be changed. They can be fixed. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not rapists, they're not, yeah, murderers, you know, generally speaking. So how do you deal with that?
Like I said to you, we all grew up with the fear of your father or corporal punishment, and then it was all of a sudden, I'll leave the kids alone, don't be beating them. But I never thought I'd live in a time where I'd see 10 or 12-year-olds running drugs for drug barons in the north side and the south side of Dublin, because they're using the kids, because, like you said, you can't charge somebody under 10 years of age with a crime.
Yeah, but how does a 12-year-old in Ballyfermot or Ballymun end up, you know, with a couple of wraps of cocaine in his pocket, having to move it from one part of the housing estate to the other, or a kilo under his jumper? How does he end up in that situation? Because his parents clearly aren't watching him.
Well, there you go. Like you said, it all begins in the home. If you've no respect in the home, you won't get it out.
Yeah, well, it's Steve Wright. So it's Steve Wright. The breakdown of the family.
Yeah, but I grew up in Ballyfermot. I didn't go bad. But I know some of the girls that I did go with did go bad. They're dead.
Yeah, but you had
a choice. Can I ask you a question? Morris, can I ask you a question? Are you extremely naive? Because the first thing that you came on and said was that these women had them. Of course they know how to take care of them. No, they don't. There's plenty of women out there. And the statistics show that there's the majority of single mothers don't know how to take care of their children.
You're using the word majority of single mothers. I wouldn't agree with that. But the majority of children who end up in crime, you're talking about, come from broken homes. It's a different statistic.
Yes, exactly. But hold on. So how naive must you be to say, just because you have a vagina and shot out a couple of kids, that you understand how to rear a child? That's not the case, Morrison. That's what you came on and said.
But that's what I'm talking about is the instinct of a woman to nurture and bring a child in. Like, are you talking about mothers now that are hooked on fucking drugs and everything? Is that what you're on about?
No, I'm talking about
when they're single or married.
You said you were talking about a child that was skinny in the 70s. It's no longer the 70s.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of men who get the money and sit in pubs and drink it and gamble it away. Right? You know, but it's not the majority. But here's the thing, Morris. It's not as many as you're making out to be. What you're making out here is that it's the fathers who are the problem in this situation. The courts have made a huge problem in this country, and people like you with that type of opinion espousing that men are terrible at their job and it's women who are great, we've left the women up to the job. The courts have given the women the responsibility, and they fucked it up.
But you had a terrible father that wasn't involved in your life, and look how you ended up. But you pulled yourself out of it. Was he a prime example of a father?
Absolutely.
But look how he ended up. I mean, sorry, Steve, with respect. Morris, look how he ended up. He ended up in Mountjoy.
Exactly.
Now, it was some time ago, obviously, but he ended up in Mountjoy.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There you go. There's an example. So he wasn't a good role model for you. Whereas I was the opposite. I had a good role model of a father.
But he admits that. He admitted that years ago, that his father was a dickhead.
Yep.
I know, but like, is he annoyed with him because of the way he's ended up in his life?
No, absolutely not.
And you have a child. Are you going to make sure that child doesn't go through what you went through or cause this shit in people's life that you caused?
100%. Why do you think, even as a gay man, I'm living with the mother of the child? Why do you think that? Because you need both the mother and the father, in their lives.
Yeah.
You need two people in their lives. This whole thing of single mothers. You know, I'm strongly against single-parent families. I think it's a terrible idea because, you know, there are statistics to show that they'll end up, you know, it's a single...
But sometimes it's just unavoidable, Steve. It's true circumstance. You can't always blame the mother for the breakdown of a relationship.
Absolutely.
And some relationships are toxic.
Yeah.
But this is why I'm saying that in those cases now where, you know, it's unavoidable, where they just hate each other, you know, give equal custody to the father as well. Because I can promise you, in a lot of the cases, the kids will end up much better off.
Lorraine, do you think the kids, thanks Morris, do you think the kids will end up much better off if the courts gave equal custody to men and women in the family law courts?
I've always said it should be equal in the men and it takes two people to make a baby. It doesn't take you,
My only problem with that, my only fear with that, as much as I agree in principle with what Steve is saying, is that if you've got a kid and mam and dad break up and dad moves to Tala and mam lives in Lusk, say, for example, right? And, you know, and you give 50% access to both parents, the child is going to spend half the week on one side of the city and half the week on the other side of the city. How are they going to go to school? It's for practical reasons, Steve, they tend to give most of the custody to one parent, primarily women. It's for practical reasons.
That's why, yeah, if it's affecting the child's school, I have no problem saying if me and Jay were to break up tomorrow and the kids are settled in school with me, obviously, but Jay taking them on a Friday and dropping them to school on a Monday, there has to be give and take on both sides. These women who stand there and they kick and they scream and they say they don't want the father to see the kids, on that side of it, I do agree with Steve, where the women are kicking and screaming and don't want the kids to see, that's cruel. Like, that's horrible. And that is extremely detrimental to the child as well. I've seen it.
I can tell you now, Lorraine, you know, and I agree with Steve on this, men don't do that to women, but women do it to men all the time.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I would absolutely believe that men put the child's welfare before their own, whereas women, I don't believe, do.
Women don't. No, women, I'll agree. Women can be selfish and can be.
And they alienate their children from their fathers.
Women go with emotion.
Yeah.
Women go with their own emotion.
Yeah.
And I've seen
They use them as weapons. They use kids as weapons.
Yeah. I have been through it with Jay and one of his ex-partners. We've been through it. Now, granted, it was 11, 12 years ago, and now we have a fantastic relationship with her.
Yeah.
But, Jay, I've been through this with Jay. I've seen how cruel it can be. I can see how alienating a child from their father is horrible. And that side of it, I agree with Steve. Women can be horrible. Men don't use kids as weapons, and they don't. And if all the women on the radio want to come at me, but it's a fact. Men don't. Women
do. Well, then you're agreeing with Steve, then? Because that proves that sometimes women can be bad parents.
Yeah, because women can be.
Yeah. Men don't do those things, generally speaking. Some men will.
No, men don't.
Yeah.
No, 99% of the time that the kids don't see the father or see the other parent is because the mother is standing there kicking and screaming, saying, no, I don't see him. You're not allowed to see him.
Steve, just before I go to Jer, would it have made any difference in your life if your mother and father, who you admitted, by the way, were bad parents, were dragged before the courts when you got into trouble, you know, in your early days, were dragged before the courts and fined, or your dad was sent to jail for 3 months because you were being a knob? Would it have made any difference? Oh, sorry, Steve. I forgot to hurry up there. I do apologise. Sorry.
You're fine. I think it would have made a huge difference, and I'll tell you why now, because they didn't feel any responsibility towards me. You know, they didn't give me the best of care. But I think if the legal system had have stood in and made them do it, even though begrudgingly they would have happened to do it, you know, make me go to school, give me rules to adhere to, so on and so forth. Yes, it probably, now the love wouldn't have been there, absolutely. But, you know, at least I wouldn't have been getting into the trouble that I was getting into. But they would have been legally responsible and making sure that I wasn't climbing out the window at such a time at night and going out robbing bleeding cars. I do think it would make
sense. Okay, let me go to Jer as well. Jer, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel, how's things?
Good. Jer, you've heard the arguments on both sides now at this stage. Sorry, you must be in a race there. You've heard the arguments on both sides. Do you believe putting the parents in jail or bringing them to court and finding them makes a difference?
In certain cases, I think it's a double-edged sword, of course. Like, you'll have people that never had a chance, Niall, that, you know, they come from a broken home or something like that. Or, you know, they never had a chance in life. They're growing up, their parents are junkies, for a better word, or alcoholics. They're broken home, there's domestic violence, all that type of stuff. And then you have people that, you know, they gave them the best of love, the best of everything, and they still turn out to be a rotten apple.
Do you think, generally speaking, you're always going to have, you know, obviously stories out there, but generally speaking, you know, kids that have the best of everything are given the love and, you know, are involved in activities and have both parents in the house, they generally don't turn out to be rotten apples.
No, they generally don't, but there's, you know, I'm not saying that everybody's totally bad. There's good and bad in everybody, but when you reach a certain age in life, I think they decide you go down a slippery slope. Well, I think with sons anyway, with lads more than girls, that you get in with the wrong crowd, you kind of, you know, you start experimenting with things, you start slipping out of school, mitching out of school, you get a phone call from the school to go up, have a chat with the teacher, you know, all this type of stuff. And, you know, it can go down very, very quickly. And people say, well, you know, take him out. You know, you want to talk to him, give him a few slaps, do this, do that. That's not the way it works. Anybody knows being a parent, the love of a child is something else. You put them, no matter what, forced. You try and develop them and talk to them and stuff like that. And it doesn't always work.
Yeah, but I hear parents saying, oh, I can't be with them 24 hours a day. I don't know where they are. And that line is kind of bullshit, isn't it?
It's not, no. Like, I have a mortgage to pay. I have to work. Stuff like that. And I can tell you, like, my young fella was, you know, he was mitching, he was smoking weed, he was getting up to all sorts, and he was getting phone calls off the school.
How old was he, Ger, at the time?
Now he's 21, but it started off at about 14. It started off in secondary school, and that's what I'm saying, you know, like, we're not scumbags. We didn't come from a broken home. There was no violence. We're not alcoholics or anything like that. There was no, you know, the police weren't at the door. You know, all this type of stuff. So people don't realise, those who are raring should be sparing, Niall. You know, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Yes,
people don't know what's going on.
Ger, in fairness though, man, you know, you're the exception to the rule. And it's much easier to deal with what's not the exception of the rule. You know, so there are many children in society who have single mothers or single fathers who come from shitty backgrounds. We can deal with them much easier than dealing with good parents who have done a good job. You understand?
But Steve, he said he was doing a good job, but his kids still went kind of down a rocky road.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. It's more difficult to deal with that situation for us as a society to deal with a situation where the parents are good, but the children end up bad. That's much more difficult. It's easier for us to deal with the situation now that we have, where we have a bunch of single parents. Exactly. Where we can deal with the statistics right now, and then we will deal with the rest later. But it's time that parents were held responsible for their children.
Yeah, Ger, I think we have to do something. When we see, both here and in Britain and across Europe and generally everywhere, a massive increase in the amount of crimes being committed by young people. You know, I don't know why that is. It's a breakdown in society. It's a change in society. You know, Steve thinks he has all the answers there, that there's more single-parent families now, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Well, I think we're approaching the whole thing wrong. We need people going into schools. Instead of studying the likes of these subjects, you need life skills, you know? You need ex-addicts going in. You need Gardaí going in, explaining to people what happens. This is what happens when you do
school
this.
But school hasn't changed too much since we were kids, Ger. We didn't have all of that, and we didn't turn out too bad.
I know, but it's a different generation now. Now, come on.
So what, they have to be mollycoddles? We have to beg them.
No.
Ask yourself what's missing in all of this. The men. That's what's missing in this equation. The lack of men in a child's life.
Is it also not what Tommy said, without being too sexist? It's also the lack of women in a child's life, because women are now working where they weren't before.
No, absolutely not. For the child who's going up to the creche, or, you know, being taken care of, the child minder, no, that's not the problem at all.
I wouldn't like my child in a creche 5 days a week being reared by the creche.
Neither would I. Absolutely. It's a terrible idea, but unfortunately, two parents have to work these days just to support a household. But again, that's not the problem. The problem, as we know, as we face right now, is no fathers in the household. When you look at your age, Niall, and guys in your age bracket, the vast majority of people had fathers in the household.
But you just said, unfortunately, two people have to go to work. Not always the case, by the way. If people actually worked out their costings, those people who already have their homes, for example, you know, they could work out costings. But here's the thing. Why did we allow society to change in a way that it now requires two people to go to work? Because in my day, it didn't require two people to go to work to afford to live in a house.
Yeah, show me the money. That's what it is.
No, but why have we? Yeah, but here we are looking for an answer to this problem. But yet, we as a society have allowed a government, have allowed the banks, have allowed everybody else to develop society in such a way that it now takes two people to afford a home.
Right, I understand that, Niall, but that still isn't the bigger problem. Two-parent families...
I think it is. I think it's a huge part of the problem.
Hold on. It's a part of the problem, but it's not the majority of the problem. You know, if you have a two-parent family which is working, at least you have the two parents. You have the mother and the father. It's the case where it's the single mothers. That's where the statistics are showing that all the problems are coming from. So let's deal with that.
So, Jerry, he's basically blaming single mothers, not single fathers, single mothers. He believes that's where the majority of this problem comes from. Would you agree with him, Jerry?
In certain cases, I don't think it's as easy as that. I don't think that it's fair to stigmatize someone and say, well, there's some great people that come from all over the world. You know what I mean? You say, well, you're from Clondalk and you're from Ballymun. I know people from the inner city that are fantastic people and wouldn't rob you, wouldn't do anything, you know what I mean? They wouldn't touch you, wouldn't do anything.
People, Jer. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about the problem people.
Yeah, but there's always going to be problems in every way. You can't just say it's down to one person.
Absolutely.
It's down to everybody.
You have to look at the statistics. If the statistics show that the biggest problem is coming from this side, well, which side do you think we should deal with first? The bigger problem.
Stay there for a second. Thank you, Jared. Let me just go to Joseph as well. Joseph, hi, how are you?
Hey, no, thanks for having me on.
Good. Joseph, you heard what Steve said. We got to look at where the problem is coming from, and the root of the problem, as far as he's concerned, statistically, is single-parent families, primarily women.
Statistically, he is right. If you go down to any of the prisons and you look around at who's incarcerated and you get their stories together, you'll notice that a lot of the time it's single mother family.
Dad left mom when, dad is an alcoholic. He left mom when I was four or five.
Either no father or abusive, not engaged father. Very difficult. The story is told again and again and again and again. And it is almost a society to say, look, this is a problem that we have to address at its core. And that is it. And look, you don't want to blame single mothers to say you're wrong. It's to say, look, you've taken on a task which alone you can't do. Just it's too much. Mm. There is a problem. Single father homes as well. Their children have problems with social interaction, with forming relationships. They have problems, but not violent criminal problems. It's just different interpersonal problems. So in both cases, I think we all agree, every child needs not just a mom and a dad, but also a family, a community, neighbors, mm-hmm. friends, society. We all need to be part of the shaping process.
As much as I might agree with you and Steve, you can't fix that.
You can.
You just go out and find a man for the woman? If the family breaks down because the dad's an alco or he ends up in jail because he's a criminal or they just break apart or whatever it happens to be, you can't just go out. She's not just going to go out and grab the first man just to, accommodate the family.
Well, I mean, look, she is a mother. She's taking care of this child. She has to say, I will do everything to make sure my child has the best childhood, the best education that he has, to be the best person he can be. So, it's on mother at that point to, say, okay, what does this situation need? Now, it doesn't have to, she doesn't have to get with a man romantically. She can go to community groups. She can go to anything where there is good, strong role models. And you can say to the men, most men would be very happy to say, look, I don't have a father at home. I'm worried about my boy. He needs a father figure. Would you mind helping out? And most men would be honored and happy to do that. And we definitely should be encouraging that. We should be running civil programs to do it. We should be encouraging something like fostering. But, a group of men can help out single mothers to give them time to, childmind or to raise their kids a bit, to step into that father role. Because, it's going to be worse for everyone collectively if we have a generation of little, hooligans running around, wrecking up the place, stealing cars.
Okay. And in relation to the hooligans that are running around the place at the moment and the 15,719 incidents involving young people between 12 and 17, do you believe their parents or parent should be brought to court and fined or possibly jailed for their crimes?
I think there's no point bringing them to court. It's very simple. You get three strikes. So a child is brought before, police attention three times. They're taken off. We'll send them to west of Ireland, some army camp where they're trained up to the civil service, or not civil service, the, civil defence. They can...
Yeah, like a boot camp.
Flood defence.
Boot camp.
And there they'll get some very strict father figures, I'll tell you. They're army drill sergeants or whatever. They'll tell them what to jump out of bed in the morning and they give them no peace because that's maybe what they want.
Steve, would that work rather than jailing or finding parents as you suggested?
Well, look, absolutely. But it could be a joint thing. 100%. I agree that if you send these kids to, I'm getting an awful echo there.
I know it's Joseph's phone. I do apologize.
We'll buy a new phone, Joseph.
I would love to have Joseph on the air more, but unfortunately, Joseph has a problem with his phone. That it's the only phone, unfortunately, that echoes back on the line all the time.
Yeah, so yeah, I do think that boot camps would work when you need a strong father figure. But if you already have a strong father figure at home, then he should suffice. But what I will say is, you know that old trope that we throw out there, you don't need a man? We need to get rid of that. Mm. We need women to stop saying, oh, you don't need a man. Yes, you do. For rearing a child, absolutely, of course you do. A man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. It's very, very simple.
I did see one mother online there recently and she said the only reason we need men is because vibrators can't buy drinks.
They're fucking morons.
Yeah, but that is the attitude of some people. Now, Joseph, thank you for that. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? Good topic.
Good, yeah. Well, still, you heard what Steve said. He's blaming you lot.
Ah, well, Steve is blaming the fly.
Mm.
I'm not even going to agree with him on that. Like, and him, this thing about that you need a man, like, you don't. You need a role model.
Yeah, like, that's what he's happy enough with that. Even grandfather, uncle, brother-in-law, whatever. Yeah, somebody to take up the mantle.
Young teenagers at that age, their hormones is all over the place as well. Like, and they're not fully developed and they're not leading their life, their whole life throughout that.
Yeah, but teenagers have always had hormones and they didn't get into much trouble as they have now.
Yeah, but you're talking about boys here, like, you know.
Primarily,
female, young girls, that's it, like.
Yeah.
And, like, young teenagers, especially boys, like, at our age, their hormones are running riot more so than the females.
That's not like, the hormones. Sarah, we're depriving young boys of father figures. That's what we're doing. The courts are supporting that. Women are saying we don't need men. Why do you not need a man for your young boy? It's not about you.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, life would be beautiful, right? If you are married and you have 2 cars in the garden and a white picket fence. It doesn't work like that. Like, you have parents out there that may only have one child. Then you have parents out there that have 5 or 6 children. Like, you're not going to get them all grown up to be perfect. It's not
absolutely
perfect.
We don't live in a perfect society. Yeah, but we're not talking about the exception to the rule. We're talking about the vast majority of children. The question that's being posed today is about all of these kids who are committing crimes at a phenomenal rate. We've never seen it before. And we have to ask ourselves why. And the why,
and
the why is
social media,
that we're depriving...
Social media has a bigger part to play, isn't it?
No, I don't. I think that women are depriving their young boys of male figures in their lives because they're becoming selfish bitches. It's all about me. I can do everything on my own. No,
that's grossly unfair, Steve. The women don't... Let's be clear about it. There's two people in a relationship when a child is born. A lot of women don't intentionally want to be a single parent. It's because some arsehole of a boyfriend has abandoned them when she got pregnant.
Again,
exactly.
What did you say a couple of minutes ago about some woman putting up a post about
And I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with this idea that, you know, women should be, you know, promoting this idea that men are useless, because clearly we're not.
Men do the same thing. They go out and get women pregnant and then they shag off.
Yes, absolutely. But hold on a second. Again, when we're talking statistically about the vast majority of relationships that break down and you have single mothers, it's the women who keep the men away. Women have gone through extraordinary lengths to vilify men. And what we need to
I will agree in a certain extent in regards to women trying to not allow the father figure to see their children. I really
think that male gets
a very, very raw deal in that area in society, and that has to change for the male's point of view, for the father's point of view.
Do you not understand, Tara? That's my entire point. Women these days are being told...
You
need a man that, you know, and be, they just want to be selfish. Women are very selfish these days. You know, they can go on social welfare and rear their kids in a shitty little house in Ballyfermot, you know, and have a terrible upbringing for their kids. Bullshit. You need to bring the father back into the equation. The courts need to start handling out equal custody of the children, or give the father full custody of the children.
I agree with you 100% there, but you came across earlier basically blaming a single mother. Like, you didn't explain the content of it.
No, I did. I explained it very well. And here's the thing. I'm not blaming single mothers. Statistics are. This is not my opinion. This is not something I've formed overnight. This is statistics.
Well, it'd be curious to see if you broke down those statistics in relation to, like, how many children, what type of an environment that they were grown in, whether the single parent was working or not.
Absolutely.
And how do they end up becoming single parents? That's also interesting.
Niall, but hold on a second. I'm pretty damn sure there's not a statistic in the world that would be useful if it was only a single variable statistic. These are multivariable statistics.
No, I get that. Yeah, the bottom line is the result is the same, and that's the point you're making. That when children are brought up in a single parent family or brought from a broken home or whatever it is, that they are more likely to get into trouble. And that's the point, Sarah. So has society changed so much now, Sarah, that children are getting into more trouble because A, they're not being disciplined, B, they don't have father figures in their lives, many of these young boys, not all of them, but many of them, and C, that we're not actually doing anything about it because we're too we're focusing so much on the virtuous side of it and virtue signalling, you know, that we're afraid to actually say things like, you know, for example, the statistics Steve pointed out, because Steve made those points. I made the same point on the radio going back about 5 years ago. I read out statistics on the air in relation to crimes of rape, murder from American prisons. Rape, murder, theft, fraud, all of these. And the percentages of them that came from single parent or broken homes, single parent families or broken homes, was incredible. And we got a complaint into the Broadcasting Authority by a woman who said that I was having a go at single parents. Well, I clearly wasn't. I was just pointing out statistics. Now, thankfully, they didn't uphold the complaint. But the point was, some people don't like to hear facts. And I suppose he is pointing out facts. Now, he's putting his own spin on it, and that's okay too. But they are facts.
Where did I put my own spin on this?
Well, we talked about the variables. There are variables involved.
No, Steve, I'm
not disagreeing with you. There's no point in getting angry. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying. So, Sarah, should you bring a mother or father to court?
Right, Niall, the way I look at it is, right, the court is not going to do anything, right? If you bring the parents to court over one particular child being like going on about their behaviour, what are they going to do? Tell me exactly what they're going to do. They're going to put them through the system. The child is going to feel like that it's being alienated. And then if it's that type of behaviour that's leading on into crime, drugs or whatever, they're going to rebel against that. And I don't feel parents...
I think Joseph was right. What we should do is, in these situations, is go after the parents.
No, that's not what he said.
So we should go after the parents and find them or send them to prison, whatever it may be. And while the parents are in prison, the child should be put into the custody of the state and sent to a care facility. AKA a boot camp.
I don't know about putting the child in the custody of the state. Look how you know, great that has been at the moment. I mean, Tussle, I wouldn't trust them to look after me dog. So we see
talking about the ideal. I'm talking about the ideal. If we had a facility that was very well run, like a boot camp, where these young boys could get male influence. The reason why drill sergeants work, because men, young boys, thrive on rules and regulations.
There's plenty of EU projects around. There is thousands of EU projects around.
Playing snooker doesn't work. Playing snooker with them doesn't work. Playing darts with them doesn't work.
Listen, Steve, I am not talking about, like, playing snooker. Right?
what youth projects? What are you talking about?
Seriously, right? I know, because the stigma in regards to going to these youth projects, right? There's an awful lot of people out there that don't realise behind the scenes, right, in these community projects that work with these children to integrate them into society in an appropriate way for them to manage their behaviour when it comes to certain things that trigger their behaviour.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Stay there, both of you. Let me go to Karen as well. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Surprisingly enough, you're agreeing with Steve.
I am.
So you're blaming single parents, primarily women?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Okay.
And well, first of all, no, sorry. If I show, I'm going to blame the state to begin with.
Okay.
Because the state created this problem when they introduced the welfare system. And what did they do? Basically, then instead of women going out with men and having children, they came along and they married the government. They got free housing. They got free healthcare. They got money. Social
but
welfare.
Karen, let me just interject you on that one. Before that, we had no social welfare system for women who found themselves pregnant out of wedlock and didn't have a boyfriend. And look what happened there. They ended up in mother and baby homes.
Yeah, but we don't fix the problem then by coming along then and being so generous with the welfare state. We are encouraging women. First of all, we're encouraging most women to keep the fathers out of home to begin with. Because when a girl, whether she's 20 years of age or 25 years of age or 30 years of age, she goes out in a casual relationship, becomes pregnant, what do? We come along, we grant her a house, we give her a weekly payment. I'm not saying we shouldn't give these things to people, but we are not...
You know, to be fair, it's not that easy just to get all those things. Yeah, but they are available.
Well, it is. Yeah. Ultimately, if you go out, if you're 25, you're a 20-year-old girl today, you go out and you get pregnant, and you're not in a marriage or you're not in a stable relationship, you go down to the local welfare office and you can apply for lone parents when that child is born. You can also then get housing assistance. You can get a medical card. You get all of the benefits of being a single parent. And I think all you're doing in a scenario like that is encouraging women to keep the fathers out of the home. Mm-hmm. And single parents, like the riots last year in France. I mean, France are talking about introducing this criminalising the parents for the teenagers' criminality. When the riots last year in Paris, 3,000, I think, a third of them were under 18. And out of that, 60% of them came from single-parent families.
Well, no, I'm not denying the statistics. And Steve mentioned statistics there, 10 times more likely to get in trouble, et cetera, et cetera, and whatever it was he said. So I'm not denying statistics. Yes, absolutely. The vast majority of children who find themselves between 12 and 17 years of age in trouble do come from broken homes, single-parent families, without a shadow of a doubt. And primarily women, because single-parent families are women, by the way. But Steve did say statistically as well, he pointed out, and I read this before myself, that children fare off better in a single-parent family when it's a single father, believe it or not.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and
now, particularly young boys, right? So,
we see the problem with women, you see, get emotional, and women then will always use, I've seen it so many times myself down through the years, women then will use the children as weapons against the fathers.
Mm.
Or else what, they'll go out in a casual relationship, sleep with a guy, they get pregnant, or in a casual relationship, or it's a one-night stand, however way you want to look at it. But all of a sudden, that child is born, then that relationship, whatever sort of relationship it was beforehand, is now gone. What do the women do come along? Oh, your father's a bastard. He's a fucking bastard. Stay away from him. So then what do you think you're going... If you're telling that, beating that, not physically, but you're putting that mentality into a 10-year-old boy, your father's a bastard. And all of a sudden then, the mother must be delinquent herself. Then what happens then? Then he goes into secondary school. Then he's out. He's on drugs, getting involved in petty crime, which leads to worse crime.
Mm.
And again, the father is gone. He's not there because the mother has put him out and told the child basically your father's a bastard. And then you expect that child to grow up normal and go into school, get an education, go on to university or apprenticeship, whatever he chooses to do.
Knowing his father's a bastard.
And we need to start going back to your original question, should parents be responsible? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now look, you have a scenario of a 16-year-old, 17-year-old that's almost like a man that goes out and rapes a woman. Should we put the parents in jail for that? No. But if you have 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds out in petty crime, yes. And like you said at the top of the show, you say, oh, we can't keep control of our children. You bloody well should be able to keep control of our children.
No, I don't buy that.
Oh, my daughter's almost 19 and she's just started second year university today. And I know exactly where she is. I know exactly where she will be tonight. She's 18 years of age. She's almost 19. And I know where my 14-year-old is, 24/7.
No, and you are right, Karen. People have come on the radio to me as well and said that, oh, you can't be with them 24 hours a day, you know. And I don't, I've had three children and they're all in their late 20s now, or in the mid to late 20s. And I know exactly where they were when they were 15 years of age. When they were 15 years of age, I knew exactly where they were all the time.
Yeah. Oh, and parents did. But then you see, you have to look down to the breakdown of these stats as well. Where did they come from, the stats you were just quoting at the top of the show? I just missed that opening.
Oh, yeah,
like, demographic.
Well, they don't have a breakdown. Okay, well. I read the stats and they don't have a breakdown. So they talk about the Garda record.
I'd like to see if there's a cultural element to that. Well, if that makes sense.
Well, the last figures
I'd like
they
to
had
see a breakdown of that.
Okay, they released these figures in July this year, but they were for 2022, which showed an increase of 42% in crime of young people aged between 12 and 17, 15,719 incidents. But here's the problem, right? Any young person between 12 and 17 years responsible for a crime must first be considered for a caution before they can be brought to the court. The report shows that more than a third of referrals in 2022 were dealt with informal cautions. That's just a guard saying, "Oh, no, don't do that again." And approximately a quarter were handled via informal or by formal caution. That's a sergeant actually writing it down and getting them to sign and saying, you know, we're going to appoint you a juvenile liaison officer or whatever it is. So in other words, they don't go to court, they don't go to jail, they don't get fined. And some of these are reasonably serious crimes. Drink driving. I mean, 38 kids between 12 and 17 were caught drink driving.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know. But then you see, when there's no responsibility then, there's no accountability, and the problem then just gets worse and worse. Years ago. And for example, you had a 50... Like, I went to school, when I was in secondary school, there was always a couple of young fellas who were always bowled, as we used to call them. They were always getting involved in some sort of petty behaviour. But, you know, at the end of the day, if they got caught by the Garda... The Garda generally nearly knew who the parents were anyway. And that in itself would have been a deterrent. Why didn't I ring your mother and father? And the child would be nearly shitting themselves. Because that in itself was a deterrent. But now you see parents don't really... It's not that parents don't care. But they just don't chastise the children, don't enforce the rules the way they used to. That also then, social media plays a part in that as well. Also, the increase in our population, particularly in more urban areas, you're going to see where crime is higher than we would in rural Ireland. And, you know, but ultimately, to answer your question, parents should be made responsible. That's community service or heavily fined.
Okay, Karen, so just stay there just for 2 seconds. I want to go to Nuala and then I've come to Rob Carey. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. In the past, I kind of would have known when I lived in Dublin about four or five different people who came from Benidorm. None of them were involved in any crime. And the only crimes I heard about at the time was young lads swiping a bag of potatoes off the back of a truck, you know, when they went over by the shop. But you see, there should be a mix. If you have a whole estate where the majority are lone parents and there's no male, somebody to get involved in creating sports and things like that, then you're going to have a problem. And I think, too, it seems to me that my niece in Canada got divorced. Well, her former husband, then he had to agree to pick up the child school at, you know, they halved the care of the child.
Yeah, 50-50. Yeah, by the way, I understand what Steve was saying in relation to that. The courts should, we need to revisit family law and completely look at and break it down and start all over again. But in a lot of cases, it is convenient to award access to one parent, with the other parent obviously having weekend access or whatever, because they might not live near each other. And the child has to go to school in one place. So it has to be, you have to provide a stable environment for the child. So I do understand why primarily the access is given to one parent. But it should be to one parent and not automatically assume that it's with the mother.
Yeah, you see, and I think that when they brought in divorce, they didn't bring in proper... proper law to deal with different situations. And a lot of women then, if the husband happens to be working and they nearly have to go to court to get him to pay. And the government doesn't follow up if he doesn't pay what you call, you know, like they do in other countries. They can't just walk away, have the child and walk away. They have to pay towards the upkeep of the child, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're missing an awful lot of law that would, in one sense, protect the kids as well, because, you know, it doesn't seem to be, it's no balance there. And there is a problem. If you get an awful lot of single parents, then in an area, you're bound to have trouble, I think, because there's no male figure. Like, say, at home now, my mother would, you know, she'd give you a slap if you were doing something wrong, but she'd still kind of, you'd tease her to get money. But if my father just raised his voice and said, "Stop that," you'd just stop in your tracks, you know, and he wouldn't let us, behave badly towards our mother. He wouldn't let us give back cheek. you know, that was, there was kind of a limit there, like, you know.
Yeah, so, I think fathers were better in that situation, certainly. Listen, Nuala, unfortunately, I've run out of time, and I know a lot of people wanted to come on in relation to that, because obviously people find it a very interesting topic and are quite shocked by the fact that so many people, by the way, are they, the figures show that, you know, there's a huge increase in crime amongst 12 and 17-year-olds, so how do we deal with it? Let me go to Rob Carey, if I can. Rob, hi, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm good, Noel. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Rob, if you want to just actually throw an opinion out there in relation to that previous topic, because I know it's something you'll be dealing with in your constituency as well. I mean, you know, you've got youth diversion programs, all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. There is an increase in crime of 12 to 17-year-olds. And like France and like England have suggested as well, should we start fining parents or possibly even jailing parents for the crimes of their children?
Like, I mean, obviously, antisocial behaviour is a scourge in the area where I'm based in Bray, as much as anywhere else, and it has to be dealt with. But I'm not convinced that jailing children along with their parents is necessarily the best way to do that.
Well, no, I wouldn't jail the children. There's no point in jailing the children. That's not going to serve any purpose.
Yeah, well, either way, I mean, there obviously is a role to play for the courts, but I don't think necessarily that's the road to go down, you know.
What
but,
about fines, I mean, hitting parents in the pocket, and then they might pay attention and as to where their kids are?
Well, I mean, I think there is another way that I'd like to just highlight. But I mean, I run a martial arts club out in Bray, and our demographic is young, male, mostly working class, and these guys, I'd love if you could meet them and see how they behave when they're in the gym. Like, they're just as likely to be involved in social antisocial behaviour as anybody else. But the difference with these guys is that they've found something.
It's
they
a discipline.
Found a sport.
Yeah,
there's a facility
discipline
there for them. And
yeah.
We have a way of directing their energies into something constructive, and they're so polite. They turn up in the North Face jackets with the hoods up on the scooters. They look exactly like the guys that people are, you know, talking about here. But once they have this way of channeling their energy and developing themselves physically and building their confidence and what have you, it's night and day. Like, they're so polite. They come and say thanks at the end of the class. They clean the place. And I think there's an idea in that. I think there's an overlap in terms of antisocial behaviour and poverty and lack of access. And I'm not saying there's no role for personal responsibility, but if we can put facilities like the one that we have here in Bray into more areas that are suffering, you will see a positive benefit. That's certainly
what I mean. Steve mentioned earlier on, and you know, obviously you're running that as well, they consider you to be some sort of male role model, because statistically a lot of these kids, particularly young boys, come from broken homes, single parent families, whatever it is. And they maybe see you as, or maybe the other instructors, as kind of male role models. Do you think young boys need, or we need to have some sort of programs, as somebody mentioned earlier on, whereas if there isn't a man in the house, to whatever circumstance that happens to be, the man is pissed off or just the family broke up or whatever, that, you know, we start, you know, guiding people to have, or women in particular, to have male role models for their children, an uncle, a grandfather, you know, a friend.
Yeah, I think there's something in that, but I don't think it necessarily has to be male. I think it just, I mean, these kids are often dealing with some really serious issues themselves. As much misery as they cause, they're often coming from real poverty and trauma, abuse, addiction, broken homes, like we've heard already, and sometimes even hunger. You know, the deprivation index came out there recently, and they found that 20% of Irish children are living in poverty and deprivation, you know. So I think any type of, anybody who, and it can be difficult when you're a victim of antisocial behaviour, but if you can bring yourself to turn the other cheek and say, what can I do to help? At the end of the day, these are our kids, you know, they're part of our nation, they're our people. What can you do to get involved in your local community, maybe a community group or a sports club, or what can you do in terms of applying pressure to your local representatives to try and put money into some facilities to help these kids? And that is the route out of it. That is the best way, rather than thinking about jailing people, you know.
Well, look, the reason I got you on was not just to talk about that, obviously, and we know that, yeah, obviously you have a martial arts class in Bray, which is Joyce Suwa. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Beautifully pronounced.
Okay. And you're offering, and I'm looking on Twitter, so you're offering, and I was surprised to see this, but I'm sure it's going very well for you, free self-defense courses for women only, and for 6 weeks with no charge whatsoever. So firstly, what encouraged you to do that, or to make that offer?
Well, I mean, I've been involved in martial arts for 20 years, and, you know, like I was saying, most of our students are male, and it's kind of unfortunate that women are a little bit underrepresented in the sport in general. But I've had a few people approach me, a couple of women and girls, talking about how, you know, they're feeling increasingly unsafe. And I read an what kind of tipped me over and made me kind of go for it was I read an article in the Irish Examiner, and it said that the number of inmates jailed for sexual violence has grown by 67% in 5 years. Right. So a two-thirds increase in 5 years, like that's serious, you know. And yeah, it just kind of, I thought, look, I mean, I don't know if it will ever help anybody, but I felt kind of obligated to try. So myself and another martial arts coach that I know, we're kind of putting together this program, and it starts next Tuesday. But the demand was crazy. We put it up, it got shared around online, and we had 30 spaces, and they were gone within a couple of hours, and there's another 23 people, I just checked the system, who are on a waiting list for it. So we're probably going to have to run a couple more of these to try and keep up with demand.
But could you afford to do them all free? So, I mean, there's no doubt, because I've talked about it on the radio and I've talked about it on the podcast on so many occasions, that women, with the exception of Helen McEntee, who feels perfectly safe, women generally feel unsafe at this moment in time. And I can't tell women how they should and shouldn't feel. So if they feel unsafe, well, then it would be advisable to do self-defense courses. Just, you know, you never know when the likelihood of you having to use it is, hopefully never, but it is advisable to have it. I mean, that particular type of self-defense that you do, you know, Joyce Suwa, is what sort of self-defense is that? Is that kind of basic stuff?
Well, it's we coach the sport of Muay Thai, which is the national sport of Thailand, and it's known for being an extremely practical martial art. There's not many spinning and jumping techniques that you'd see in Taekwondo, whatever. It's all very it's a competitive fight sport, so it takes the matches take place in the boxing ring, but you can also punch a knee and elbow. So it's extremely practical. And then the other coach is an MMA guy, and he's done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and stuff. So between us, we're kind of picking and choosing the best bits and the most practical
how
bits.
How to get out of a headlock, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah, because that's really listening
exactly,
with the
yeah. Exactly, yeah. What to do if somebody gets in your face. And we'll also do some kind of stuff around awareness.
Kick him in the balls.
And avoidance and what have you. But I mean, like, it's unfortunate, really, when you think about it. Like, this isn't something any girl should have to consider, you know what
no,
I mean?
I know.
It's unfortunate that we're at that stage. It really is, but I just kind of feel like, look, if somebody wants to maybe feel a little bit more safe when they're out there, or just feel like they have something to back them up in some way, to some level, you know, why not try and offer for them?
All right, well, look, it's a really good idea. Well done to you, by the way. And if people want to join, but I shouldn't really give you out phone numbers or anything like that, because he's already up to his eyes. But anyway, you can seek him out. Rob Carey, he's in Wicklow. And you can seek him out. Free self-defense courses for women only. And by the way, the best of luck, by the way, if you do decide to run for election, I don't know whether you will or not, Rob, that's entirely your own decision. I know you ran in the local elections, but it's up to you whether you're going to decide to run or not. I won't ask you on the air and put you on the spot. All right.
Yeah, that one's to be continued.
Yeah. But listen, Rob, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on, and thanks very much. And by the way, thank you on behalf of all those women who you're going to give free classes to. I think they need them. All right. Thanks very much, Rob.
Thanks a lot, Noel. All the best.
There you go. What an interesting... I just saw it on Twitter there, by the way. And yeah, you can contact Rob. If you go on to Twitter there, Rob Carey, it's spelled C-A-R-O-Y. You'll see the post there. You can respond to it there, I suppose. Or there's a link there, by the way, that you can go on to book. So it's bookwhen.com. Not like Chinese, bookwhen. No, bookwhen.com. If you go on there, you can see, you can book the courses there. And Rob is doing all those there. Free self-defense courses for women only. Now, let me look at some of the messages that have been coming in here, by the way. Oh, by the way, somebody says Steve is a misogynistic. I don't know why. Oh, that's gone. Oh, sorry. Steve is a misogynistic scumbag. How dare you have him on the show? Why would you platform with someone like him? I want his details to report him for spreading misinformation, says Louise on WhatsApp. Louise, it's not misinformation. Statistically, he was actually correct in what he was saying. So, you know, he formed his own opinion around those statistics. But you're entitled to your view on it, Louise. And if you felt that strongly about it, you could come on. And by the way, if you want to make a complaint, you can send your complaint, by the way, to niall@nileboylan.com. There's a bin over there, and I'll print it out and fling it into it. All right, because this is the great thing about the podcast. I'm my own boss. So there's nobody to complain to except me. So if you want to complain, I'll print it out. See? Like that. Well, it's a silly complaint. Like, I'll bring it out like that, and I'll just go. And we get some form of entertainment out of it. Because it's not a good complaint. You know what I mean? Eddie says on WhatsApp, my opinion on this is I think fines need to be put in place for parents. It's if it's they've been multiple times, they've committed theft and the parents are responsible for them if they are under house arrest. Any parent needs to make sure they attend programs that are mandatory. But also, why are the kids from criminal parents not taken by TUSLA when many are kids and former mobster parents followed their parents' footsteps? But two-parent households also should be priority again. As stats show, it's far better than having one. Jason, don't say that. Louise would be going mad if you said something like that. A two-parent family is better than a one-parent family. My God. Statistically, by the way, Louise, not all the time, but statistically. Yeah, Louise, before you say it, I know there are some wonderful one-parent families out there. And there are. There are. With wonderful kids who do extremely well. We can all, I'm sure, pinpoint one or two of them that we know. But unfortunately, Louise, you're wrong. Statistics clearly show us that if you do come from a single parent family, you are more likely to get into trouble or more likely to be involved in crime or more likely, you know, to have the guards call into the door. Nuala says that rearing a child is different to rearing a teenager because a child needs tenderness and care, which as a woman's nature is most suited. Teenagers will always push boundaries, so men are needed to enforce those boundaries. That's what a lot of people are saying. D. Reader says on X, as parents were shackled in actions we can take without prosecution for restriction of children's freedoms or accusations of cruelty. We're censored from knowing what is learned at school and restricted from fighting indoctrination. There are bad parents, but good ones are punished. You're right about the indoctrination bit, by the way. Have you seen some of those books, by the way, then, kids? The SPHE books, not just about the Irish family crack that was apologised for last week, but they're nonsense, by the way, telling children you're assigned your gender at birth. You're not assigned F all at birth. You are what you are at birth. That's it. You've either got a penis or a vagina and you've male or female chromosomes. By the way, those parents who rear their babies as non-binary, they should be charged with abuse. Under 18 parents' responsibility, so they should be held to account for their actions and behaviour. And Michael says, go after their welfare payments. Take away the drink and the cigarette money and the parents might actually look after their kids. Interesting. Yeah, let me just play one or two of the WhatsApps for you here. Hang on.
Afternoon, Niall. Topic very close to my heart. I think you know that yourself. I told you for me story. Now, Niall, I mean, my mum and dad had six of us. Right, six of us, and I was the rotten apple out of a lot of them. My other siblings never put a foot wrong. My mum and dad never put a foot wrong. Why should they? No, okay, I somewhat of an excuse. Something happened to me years and years ago and sort of altered the trajectory of my life. I had an accident, so that sort of scuffed. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse, but it sort of put me on a different path than the path I was on. But my mum and dad done nothing wrong. They never hurt a single person. That was all down to me. This intervention, it does sort of work sometimes, but the person has to want it. They tried it with me. At the time, I didn't want it, so I went the other way. But you know me now, Niall, I came back, I hope. But it should be interesting to hear what people think. Hope we don't going to have all the lock them up and flogging brigade on today, don't know.
It's actually not that society has changed. People, children and young adults don't realise, right, that their parents have their own life as well. Like, I know their own life involves their children, but there's other things going on with the parents as well. Children don't realise that, and young adults don't realise that growing up. So that's why people inclined to blame the parents. And that stigma has to stop. You know, what people do, the older they get, they take responsibility for themselves. That's what happens, and that's what should happen. And stop blaming the parents in society and the community you come from. Oh!
Parents have their own lives, Sarah. Did you really say that? When you're a parent and you have a child, you are ultimately responsible for your child's life until they become 18 years of age. That's your job as a parent. There is no excuses. There's no get-out clauses. There's no, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't know they were there today, officer, when they burnt out a car or stole a car. There's none of that. It is your job as a parent to know where your kids are. And numerous times I mentioned earlier on, I've heard on the radio or on the podcast, oh, well, you can't be everywhere with them when they're 14 years of age and know where they are. You absolutely can. If you have to put a tracking device on them, you should know where your child is every minute of every day up to the age of 18. That is your job as a parent. And if you don't want to do that, you should have never had a child in the first place, because that is your job. There is no excuse for not knowing where your child is. And you must be ultimately responsible. If your child has done something wrong, you must be responsible as a parent as to why they did something wrong. Now, I do know that good parents sometimes have bad children, but that's rare. If you're a good parent or parents, your child won't get into trouble. You won't have guards calling to the door. They won't end up in a lockup somewhere for the night. Your child will not be in trouble if you're a good parent, generally speaking. If you're a parent who doesn't give a shit and you're so busy with your own life that you've no idea where your child is doing or where they are or what they're doing, well, then you only have yourself to blame, because your child will turn out to be an asshole. And that's just the way it is, because children will take advantage of a situation where you don't care. If my parents didn't care what I did, and they were strict, but if they didn't care what they did, what I did, I would have turned out to be an asshole. Because most kids whose parents don't care what they do turn out to be assholes. And Steve was right. Not about everything he said, by the way, but he was certainly right about his statistics. And I'm sorry to have to say, when a child comes from a single parent family, they are more likely to get in trouble, particularly if that single parent family is a female. They're more likely to get in trouble, particularly it's young boys, because these statistics of the 15,719, I don't have the breakdown here, but I can tell you the vast majority of those are young boys, probably around 14 years of age, 15 years of age. All boys, probably. And the reason? Because they don't have male role models in their life. Boys need men in their lives. Even if it's an uncle or a grandfather or somebody who's willing to step up to the plate and be a male role model, they need discipline and men in their lives. Not so much girls, but boys do. That's why statistically, single parent families with men fare off better. And anybody who wants to argue those statistics, like Louise, can argue all you want. But statistics are statistics and they're facts. So if Louise wants to send in a complaint to me, she's quite welcome to do so. Now, I'm not even going to go to the trouble, by the way, of finding those statistics and send them back to her. But I suggest, Louise, you do your own research. Because all you got to do is look online at statistics in relation to single parent families. I'm sorry, but it's true. You are more likely to go to jail. You are more likely to be in trouble. You are more likely to go down the wrong path. That doesn't mean that every single parent is a bad parent, by the way. Some of them are great parents. But you're just more likely to, because it's a challenge. And what's despicable is if you see parts of Ireland now, particularly in the UK at the moment, you'll see it, but certainly it's becoming a problem here now, you see what they call man deserts. These are housing estates that have been provided by the Department of Social Protection, primarily to single females with children, and there's no men. And then they go to primary school, where 87% of the teachers are female. So they don't experience male discipline at all until they get to about 13 or 14 years of age and they go to secondary school. And by that time, it's too late. They've already gone down the wrong path. We need to take control. We need to take control of children, and we need to set them on the right path. Because if it's up 42% in 2022, 2023, it's going to go up even higher again when the next figures come out next year. And it'll just get higher and higher and higher. And don't blame social media. Who was it earlier on trying to put the blame on social media? Don't blame social media. It's not social media's fault, because that child has a phone because you gave it to them. That child has a tablet because you gave it to them. So that's your fault. If you're not watching that or monitoring that and they're 12 years of age, that's your problem. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed, and thank you for getting involved in the show today. Please do. Oh, there's a voicemail given out to you from Neil. Oh, okay. Let's play it. Okay. Let's play this.
No, you can't know where your kids are 24/7. So such an intelligent person, I deem to know where my kids are when they're gone out. They're respectful and I rear them well. You can't know where your children are, Noel, 24/7. I can't believe you still make that statement, pal.
Well, pal, Neil, I love you to bits and everything else, and we're still going to be great friends, but we're going to have to disagree inherently on this one. Certainly up to the age of, say, 17 years of age, I knew exactly where my children were all of the time. Now, if you don't know where yours are, that's your thing. That's your bag. And by the way, I'm sure you're great kids and you trust them and that's great. But if you don't know where they are, I mean, at worst, if they're evasive, you put a tracker on their phone. You should know where they are. They're your children. You're responsible for them. You should know exactly where they are. What happens if something happens to them? You should know where they are. Even my parents knew where I was most of the time. And we didn't have any of the technology that we have nowadays. So I'm sorry, Neil, I completely disagree with you. If they're a child, you are responsible for them and you should know where they are. By the way, everybody, please support the show. Don't forget, the only reason we have a platform here for people's opinions is because we pay for it. We get some money back, which covers some of the expenses, but not enough. This month, particularly bad. People just don't want to seem to donate. I understand it's getting close to Christmas, all that. Summer holidays have just ended. Yous all have no money. But hey, a lot of yous are watching it now. Thousands of you are watching it on Twitter, Facebook, on YouTube, and live on the website. You're all watching it now. We're not charging you for watching it. We don't get paid at all. You're not giving us any money. So please do support us. If every single one of you who watched it every single day gave us 20 pence a day, we'd be flying. We don't get money from the Broadcasting Authority or Commission of Man. We don't get any of the money from the revenue license, the 725 million the government gave RTE. We don't get any of that. We get none of that money. We don't have sponsors because if we do, they'll try and control the show. So you're watching it live now with no advertising. None whatsoever. We don't even try to get advertising because we don't want them to control what we talk about. So please sponsor the show yourself by sending us a fiver. Go to our website. Just a fiver. Whatever you can. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. Thank you to all of those who have donated or subscribed. You can subscribe on the website for $5.99 a month. It's the price of a cup of coffee we can share between the three of us. So please subscribe or please donate and help us to help you to have an opinion every single day. Thank you. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, 12 o'clock. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.